What a show we've got tonight.
So we don't know what is going to happen.
No.
We know something's going to happen and, you know, tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes.
Yeah.
These are kind of sideshow for the main event.
I think so. Our ancestors were crossbred from the anthropoid species on the planet at the time. They've got a series of 9 prophecies, 8 of which have been fulfilled. The last one of which I think was about the coming of the hippies. Basically, only a small pocket of them knew about it, and it wasn't something that was greatly discussed.
Is this all just a blindfold created for us by the reptilians to give us hope before they wipe us out with an almighty cataclysm?
Yes, alien insectoid anthropologists from the future.
Michael, this kind of change in consciousness idea that Jeff has introduced here, does that have any resonance with the studies that you've made?
I don't think the triads would stand a chance if they came up against the Illuminati. That would be a lovely wrestling match to watch.
Get out of this.
Let me diagnose you for a minute. How do you like it when the camera's turned on you?
That's all we've got time for tonight. Next week, we'll be back with another exciting show that might even change your life. Until then, remember, they're watching you, watching us, watching them. Cheerio.
What up? It's your boy, Brother Ryan, the Sex Panther. Back once again, we got a real exciting episode for you guys here tonight. I'm pumped to bring this one to you. As usual, my different colored brother from another mother is here with me. Lawrence, what's going on? What's up, homie?
Not much. Quitting my job tomorrow, starting a new one Monday. So, fun stuff.
Big stuff, man. I thought you were happy where you were at. What's up with that?
This other place pays better.
Ah, okay.
That's basically how that works.
Can't argue with that. The Treasure Cruise tonight has brought us a super sweet guest. We're stoked to have him here. One of your favorite faces at a lot of events. You know, many of you, I'm sure, have got work signed by him and whatnot. We got the one and only RK Post in the house. RK, what's up, homie?
Nothing.
Chilling. You said a minute ago you're actually working on a piece as we speak. That's fucking sweet.
Yes.
Working on a token. I want to say one of my favorite tokens of all time is the Kraken you did for Brainstorm Brewery.
Oh yeah.
With
the Cthulhu.
I got about 20 of those for some reason. I don't know why. I was a huge
well, these days, yeah, I wouldn't know why either. But
yeah, I mean, I was a huge fan of Kiora, but I just had to have a shit ton of them. And the SVU and the glass, everything, super nice touch. So one of my all-time favorite tokens. So you're working on a token right now, which is super cool. For those that don't know, support RK's art. You got some of the sweetest tokens around. I actually wanted to ask you about that. Is there something that's kind of inspired? Because you have this, like, I've seen a lot of your tokens recently, and they kind of look like old school. They kind of have, like, an antique. I don't know if I'm using the right language here.
No, that works. I usually kind of go for the old school, kind of Victorian kind of look to them.
Okay.
Yeah, I like doing pen and ink, and I can actually churn them out probably a little bit faster than doing a fully painted piece. But I also realize a lot of other artists are doing tokens as well, and theirs are going to be full color, fully painted things, and I want mine to kind of stand out. So I think the two that stand out the most would be mine and Voss's. His are like black and white as well.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely around at a lot of events, so people could certainly check you out. Why is it you're the one artist like people could count on to be like a GP? What's your schedule like? Because I mean, that is crazy to me.
It's crazy to me too. And you know, it's not gonna last forever, and I realize that this is not the end game to be at like every single GP in the world. But while I still have the chance to do so, I'm gonna go to as many places as I still can.
Okay, you look like you're having fun. I want to say real quick, I did last time I saw you was you had a booth at, I want to say, GP Indy. You had a cute young lady with you. You guys look like you were having fun. So.
Sure.
You know, can't complain.
You know? It was an experiment. It was like, let me see. If I had
the girl was an experiment, or?
Was that?
I said the girl was an experiment, or.
In a sense, it was like if I had like a fun booth babe kind of presence there, would that help, hurt, hinder, whatever?
So that wasn't like a girlfriend or something?
No.
See, that's kind of smart. That's some brilliant. We're getting into the mind of some marketing strategy here. That's pretty deep. That is some good strategy.
I thought so. Well, actually, what I found out was my table be kind of it became like a party sort of atmosphere, kind of, which that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted to see if that would
She's like handing out
take long or
shots.
not, but I could
Booth
not
babes
tell.
and jello shots at
Yeah,
the arcade
jello
post.
shots, the arcade post booth. No, man, you guys look like you were having fun though. I did want to say that. So that's why I got the impression that you are enjoying, going to these events and stuff like that. You look like you have a good time,
Yeah,
interacting and.
and I've been with people in the past that look like they weren't having fun, and that day comes along where you're not having fun, it's time just to hang it up and do something else.
For sure. So what about about the booths? Like obviously I'm sure you get people asking for a ton of signatures and stuff like that. Do you, I mean, what's like the going rate on that? Is that something, I mean, I'm sure you can at this point, sign a bunch of cards for free. At least I would hope not.
I do.
Really?
I
Yeah.
do. Yeah. I
Okay.
figure that is like the smallest thing I can do for somebody is give them a signature. But I have lots of,
Well, that's badass. Yeah.
well, if you go to my table, there's lots of stuff on it, and a lot of that stuff is really not that expensive at all. Like you look at a token, it's like 50 cents. So, because a lot of artists do charge, when you don't, you actually get tipped pretty darn well, and people tend to pick up stuff. So, I mean,
Yep.
I'll let everybody else charge. I'm not gonna.
Well, that's bad as hell. That's something that kind of sets you apart then, and that's I could totally respect that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're definitely, I mean, clearly as evidenced by you doing podcasts and stuff like that, you're really open to the community, being a part of it aside from, just making the art and whatnot. What card would you say like you sign the most? What's the one like people come up and I gotta get this signed by RK?
There's actually a couple I keep track of. So if you bring up like a Modern Masters 2015 Fulminator Mage or something like that, which I do sign a lot of, especially go to like Modern GP like the last Charlotte was.
You were pretty surprised to see my French Fulminator Mages, which
Were they numbered?
I don't remember.
If they're the Modern Masters ones, you brought them up, then they probably would have been. But
No, they were Shattermore.
oh, okay, yeah,
A
I knew
lot
it.
of Fulminator mages.
Ikrid's gonna pop up since he's an Eternal. So every one of those I've seen so far, I've numbered. So it'll continue on and on and on until I lose the tally sheet, which it does happen.
Wow, you're actually so when you say numbered, you're actually like keeping track like RK post and then a number.
Yeah. Well, yes, and a date.
That's pretty sweet. Now you're also known for something, kind of funny in the and your alters kind of have a reputation. We got a lot of questions. Apparently
Sure.
you like to draw dicks on things. What's the
Well,
story behind?
I used to.
Yeah,
I put it aside altogether because I became known as the dick guy. As you say, there was a how you say a maybe a legend that was sort of built around it. It just got a lot bigger than me. So I figured I first started doing because it's hilarious. And after a while, when it became less hilarious, then I decided I think that's where I'll kind of split off and
So you
I'll
never
something
were like approached by like WotC or anything, like, hey, can you like tone it down?
else.
I'm drawing dicks on
No,
the shit
not
or.
directly, but you have to realize at the end of the day that some of the stuff when it does kind of reach that scale that's so much bigger than you, and it's not the most approachable thing ever. And people, it got to the point where people assuming that if I did an alter on a card, I'd draw a dick on
Oh, they just like assumed,
Yeah,
automatically assumed.
as soon as they came up, I would just draw a dick on it, not say a word and just do it.
Okay.
And after I sort of made the announcement that I was going to stop, that's kind of the feedback I got that. It didn't feel safe walking up with, like a $60 card and having me just totally obliterate the value of it by dropping a dick
Drawing a
on
dick. I will say, so we have a campaign, we have a Kickstarter campaign here from Cast from Exile. One of our stretch goals is the Cast from Exile private jet. Listeners, you need to get on this. We're like way behind on this. One of the stretch goals on the private jet is we wanted to commission the RK Post dick paint job. So it looks like a flying cock. And we were wondering, I mean, is that something you could do? And what kind of figure are we looking at here, price-wise?
Well, there's loopholes. Loophole is I draw Richard Nixon on the side of your plane, and you just have a big dick on the side of your plane. But
we gotta look like a flying cock. We put you in the $25,000 range. We figured that was like a fair.
Yeah, liquor. I think you might get one.
Okay. We could work something out. Listeners, you heard it here first. A private jet. We get the stretch goal on top of it. We get RK. Dick jet is done.
We'll add it to our never-ending stream of Kickstarters.
It's not a card, I guess. So yeah, all right.
We got several Kickstarters here on the cast. Also, listeners, don't forget the Kickstarter, the Uber ride Lawrence to an orgy. We need him here in Central Illinois. We need him here. So do not forget about that either. We're working on that. We're about $400 away from goal.
Wait. Is this actually a thing that you started?
Oh, this is a thing, man. We're getting you to an RG.
People have actually donated money to this?
Don't worry about it. It's happening.
My question is, do you have the orgy like picked out?
Oh, yeah. Well, events are known. And then stuff. I mean, like kinky.
And you
didn't
say if it was a straight or gay orgy.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Completely on the up and up. Totally straight.
What if you're gay? I mean, up and up, it's just all dudes or all chicks.
Well, I mean, if that's what Lawrence asks for, you know, that's.
Oh wait, he actually gets input.
I mean, sure.
I thought this was a joke. I didn't realize we're this, actually going
we're doing this
text.
For the white girls here in Central Illinois. Okay, it's more for them than you, Lawrence. So,
where's he out of?
Lawrence is
Ohio.
Out of Ohio.
I live about an hour away from Columbus.
Yes.
But what's in Central Illinois?
Well,
apparently the white
I'm
girls.
In Central Illinois.
What's
and,
that?
Well, I'm in Central Illinois for starters. And,
what's that?
Champaign Urbana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went to U of I here and got stuck and haven't left. Or
I went to NIU.
Okay. Sweet. So you're familiar with Illinois. I lived in the burbs for a while, so kind of up from the NIU area. Well, not quite that far. That's like what is it? DeKalb or something.
Yeah, DeKalb.
Okay. But yeah. Let's. we got way off kind of topic there.
Wait, do you know Decatur?
I do know Decatur. Decatur, it smells really bad. We call that Stinky Town. It's for those that don't know, the moment you exit off the interstate into Decatur, you're hit like an overwhelming odor. It's really bad.
It can't be as bad as Rochelle. They have a Hormel plant there right when you get off the interstate.
Yeah, that's probably pretty bad too. It's like ADM or some fertilizer plant they got in Decatur, and then there's another chemical factory there too or something, and between those two, I swear to God, if you get food from like the drive through there, you will taste it. You will taste the smell on your food.
That's a great endorsement.
It's like that. But anyway, so RK, man, what's kind of like, you've done a shitload of art. Like I'm looking at your gallery now. I mean, you've done a ton of cards. What's the process, man? Like you get a phone call from Wadzi, RK, what's up, dude? We got this set coming out. Yeah, how the fuck does this work, man? Like,
it's email. It's been email for several hundreds of years now.
So you're not? Are you like on a contract? You're not like release
no,
this
no.
many cards a set type of thing.
No, it's piece by piece.
Okay, and is that how you prefer it? Like, that's.
So do they like think of a concept and go, RK would embody this idea best, or?
They might get that on their end, but I mean, I have no input in that stuff.
I mean, you get a guide, obviously, right? They creative does give you guys kind of like a guide, right? Of the feel they're kind of looking for, I guess.
I mean, if you Google it, you should be able to find a style guide for any particular set. Some of the newer ones they've kind of clamped down a bit, but some of the older ones are out there.
Okay, so like Kaladesh, we can't ask you about. That's probably some top secret stuff, but...
Oh, no. Anything that has been released yet, forget about it.
Okay. Now, so you get an email. We want, you know, we'd like to commission you for a piece. I mean, is there like a set rate? Is there any kind of negotiation at this point as far as...
No, it's all set. You know exactly what it's going to be.
Are you given a name, the name of the card, like anything, you know, real specific?
You give it a name, but you don't know if it's actually going to stick around to the bitter end. I think on some level they're still kind of play testing it, and you will get a card on occasion that's canceled because it's way too broken.
Okay, and so obviously, like, if you get a creature, you know, it's a creature, like, they don't just leave you in the dark, obviously.
You don't know any stats, power, toughness, abilities, you don't know any of that. You just get, like, a written description of what the art should look like. That's pretty much it.
Any MTG art, like, you're particularly, like, a favorite piece, you know, that you look back on as like, I really knocked this out of the park? Or do you get more thrilled when the card is kind of like sees a lot of play and, I don't know, just gets a lot of love? Is that what's kind of the important thing to you? Or
you want both? You want something that you're kind of proud of and you want to see a lot of play too.
Do you guys kind of talk shit amongst each other in the artist community? Like, your shit's not getting played, or...
A lot of artists just really aren't aware.
Okay.
Especially if they have a lot of standard. Everything pretty much gets signed anyway. So.
And a lot of you guys do. Obviously, MTG isn't the only art a lot of you guys do. So.
No. There's a lot of us who just do things all over the place.
Speaking of which, like, what, I mean, outside of Magic, what kind of art can people, you know, see from you? Do you have a website where do you do custom pieces?
I do,
pieces?
But it's mostly like a retail place. Like Instagram, you can, you know, I think my Instagram is @postark, but it's, you just see like shit I'm working on, whatever.
Okay, so okay. Do you get custom commissions? Do you get a lot of requests for any particular art, anything like that?
I'll be totally honest. I really don't do a whole lot of freelance these days by choice. It's become like the market's really stupid and weird. I've been doing it for like 20 something years, but, you know, foreign markets have opened up. They work fast, cheap, they're good. And just the, you know, the quality and the scope of what work people are looking for now these days is, you know, really busted. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of a weird place. And because everything is kind of opened up and it's a much smaller world than it used to be, the rates really just haven't gotten any better.
Okay. What's the first, how'd you get into Magic? Like, who approached you? How'd you hear about this game? What made you want to do art for it? And then what was the first piece you ever did for MTG?
Sure. I mean, I did go to a Gen Con one year, and I was fully aware of Magic, and I wanted to do some work for it. So, you know, I brought my portfolio, and I submitted it. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I really wasn't ready to do Magic art. I had a little bit of growing left to do.
Yeah, I think earlier we were talking, I was a big fan of Acridian and the art on that when I was younger, and how you just...
Yeah, that was really... That was me still learning how to paint.
Okay. I mean, it was sweet to me because I got a good vibe for the card and stuff and these characters. I mean, it went well with the flavor text, like, matched it perfectly. I don't know. I think I took it as a whole package, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing, too. You got to learn about Magic players that don't necessarily completely focus on the art. Because, like, if you look at Morphling, which is another early piece, same set, Urza's Saga, that right there, that's all about nostalgia. It was a great card when it came out, and they, you know, they totally associate it with a piece of art, because when you're playing the game, you look at the art too, and that's kind of your recognition key for the card. So, you know, there's a rules change, the damage on the stack, Morphling became a lot shittier than it was, and now it's just a nostalgia thing.
Okay.
Do you play Magic at all, or...?
Not really, but I'm around it so much that I pick up so much by osmosis. Every once in a while, I you know, I'll hang around an event a little bit longer, and I'll have someone try to show me what to do, and and I fail miserably.
So, Acridian, not to keep talking about Acridian for fuck's sakes, but the flavor text matches the art like that, it makes me wonder, do they give you guys the flavor text on the card that you're working on?
No, not at all. They make up that stuff longer.
So that makes me wonder if your art sort of inspires some of the flavor text.
Yeah, no, it totally does. What the card does, what the art is, they write the flavor text a little bit later.
That's really sweet. That's really cool. I never considered that for you guys. So that's...
Yeah, I mean, they really can't write something about like a dude when it's obviously a chick in the arts.
yeah, for sure. So what was the first card you did for Magic?
It was the set right before it. So it was Exodus, the last one in the Tempest block. I did three cards in it. So it was, I'm going to reach back here. Thrall Surgeon, High Ground, and Keeper of the Beasts.
Okay, so it didn't really do... You came out with three at once. I guess you guys do a lot of different art in the sets. It's not just one card or something.
No, I think Urza's Saga was like seven, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, seven artists.
Seven cards. Seven cards.
Okay, Keeper of the Beast is sweet. I will say that I miss the old what looks to be like hand drawn and like color pencil look to a lot of stuff. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but
a lot of the artists have switched over to digital as opposed to using classical methods.
So, yeah, I did about halfway through.
So what? So you're like half and half, you'd say, on digital and hand, or?
Yeah, oils versus digital. Yeah.
Okay, half and half.
Half and half.
That's pretty fair estimate. Is it just because it's a ease of convenience thing to work digitally, or?
Yeah, my life didn't give me a place to paint. So
I mean, not and by the way, not to cut you off, but not to like say that it's like easy to work digitally or easier than painting with another medium, but I mean. It's cleaner and
easier.
Efficient and cleaner and all that. Like, is that why, like, the change or?
No, it just requires less space to do it digitally. And you can actually do it on the go. You could sit in a Starbucks and work digitally if you really wanted to, but you really can't do an oil painting in a Starbucks.
When you do an oil painting, are these way bigger than, I mean, obviously, that I would imagine they're way bigger than your digital pieces.
Some are. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say selling more playing with, I think, was 6x8. It might be a little bit bigger than that. It might be 8x10. So it's not that big, but
selling Morphling, like you'll sell the original art, like the.
I sold it years and years ago, and the value of that thing has climbed way up.
Do you do that with all your pieces in Magic, like the ones you paint out?
I have none left. I sold them all.
Oh, well, sweet. That's pretty cool. So people, if you want to get your hands on an RK Post original, let them know early. Get in line.
Digitals don't have too many originals associated with them, so you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine there'd be much demand for. I mean, I guess you could rent it.
Here's a JPEG.
Yeah, but other than that,
in terms of hunting, like some of the older stuff down, you can like get in the Art Exchange Facebook group and maybe find someone who's willing to come off of it, but probably not.
They sell things all the time.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Are you like when you're at events and stuff, do you and the artists like hang out after the event, like go out and all that stuff? I mean, you guys like a pretty tight community, or is it just sort of everyone's just kind of whatever?
No, on occasion. We all pretty much know each other.
Okay.
So I don't always get the chance. Sometimes I leave on a Sunday night, and I'll be totally honest, when I'm at an event, I'm focused on the event. I work really long days, and those nights, if I need to get like any alters or sketches or whatever done, you know, I don't have much time. It just kind of digs into my sleep time. And then I come in like first thing in the morning, and I'm all set up, ready to go. So,
partying.
No, I'm actually pretty,
You don't get flooded with the groupies at these events, man?
Groupies?
No. I imagine. Come on, man. I know there's some MTG groupies. I imagine there's got to be one or two art groupies around the scene. That blows my mind. I don't know. I just assumed there were groupies for everything.
How did you end up getting into the GP grind? Like, what led to that decision?
I did it since the beginning, but
okay.
Much smaller scale, obviously. But I also worked, you know, full-time jobs and stuff like that, and had to consider those. So, you know, I travel someplace once every, you know, month or a couple months or whatever, and you know, call it good with that. But then, you know, I worked video games for 10 years, and then after the last layoff, I was like, yeah, screw this, and said, all right, I'm going to focus on something. I'm going to focus on this.
So you worked in digital animation with, like, video game art?
Well, just the animation side of it. I do mostly, like, concept art, and I did a lot of 3D stuff. It was just a mixed bag of stuff.
Any games you worked on that you want to name drop?
No, it was all kind of weird stuff. Like, I worked on an MMO for Microsoft, but it got dropped. Same thing for Sony. It got dropped.
No bueno.
So, yeah, don't work on an MMO because that's going to be at least 5 years of your life, and it might not even see the light of day.
That's got to be a blow. What about
you still get paid, right?
Yeah, you get a salary. Yeah,
I would. As far as you said, so you've kind of gone to these events, these MTG events from the start. So you've got to like see firsthand these things grow. Like how like crazy is it compared to how it used to be? I mean,
well, now that I've really kind of focused on it, Like for the past, this is my third year, I actually keep spreadsheets on everything, information like, you know, how many players. But then also you get to know the TOs, you get a lot, you get to know a lot of the inside stuff that maybe players really aren't privy to. So, okay. You know, I kind of know what's going on behind the scenes, I know a lot of judges, and I know a lot of people. I figure it, as an artist at an event, I am kind of, I don't know if you want to call this a really like a, I don't know. I'm like an attraction, I guess. Right?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Right. I'm there to help draw some people in and hopefully make it a much bigger, better event. And I'm fully aware of this. So I try to do my part, you know, by building up my social media presences and, you know, trying to bring more people to the table and also do other things to kind of bring more folks in. Cause I realize kind of what my place is. I definitely would say that not maybe every artist or, you know, attraction kind of gets that. But I do.
It's good to see it with you. You mentioned bringing folks in. In terms of bringing folks in, have you introduced any other artists to MTG and got them into making cards? Any of your friends making cards like that you knew before, prior, and kind of like, hey, you should contact these guys?
No, not really. I started so early, and it was a totally different art direction crew for sure.
Okay.
You know, I don't really have the inroads like I used to. Actually,
they used to let Foglio make art.
way back when.
Staggers. No, so, Lawrence, what do you think, man? Let's hop into some listener questions, dude.
Sure.
Yeah, because I'm looking now at the listener question list, and we got more than I thought, so.
I have maybe 9 or 10.
Okay.
Over on my side.
John Holland. Thank you for writing in, buddy. Big fan of the show. We need to have you on, John. You should have came on a couple weeks ago. Sorry it didn't come together. We'll get you on here, though. And thanks for writing in. Oh, sweet Jesus. The trolls begin. John wants to know, RK, how many orgies have you participated in rounded to the nearest 0.5?
Oh, God.
There's half orgies?
Apparently.
Wait, does he want to the nearest 100 or...
I think he wants a round figure.
He wants it to the nearest tenth.
God, isn't every weekend for me an orgy?
That's
more or less.
That's what I thought. I figured you were like a rock star, you know, all getting like all this art pussy thrown at you and stuff.
lots of arts.
Okay, well, I just figured it was like sign my chest every weekend. And
have you ever been to a GP?
Yeah.
Reality starts to kick in.
That's fair. So, Braden Defoe, Big Tuna.
Tuna! What's up, Tuna? We gonna have some tuna for dinner?
I'm so horny. Okay, I can't help you with that. Oh, I think you can, Big Tuna.
Thanks for writing in. Wanted the price quote for the Dick Jet. Braden, we already got that covered. But I think he's got another question. He wants to know the worst fanboy at an event story.
Worst fanboy? I don't know. Here's the honest truth. I've been doing this for so long, I've almost seen like everything. And at this point, not all that much phases me. So what might have phased me like a few years back, probably just I'd think, oh, that's weird.
Have you had anyone like creepy? On. Like we've had some female artists on and stuff, and they've like, and like Christine Sprankle, a big cosplayer, yeah, was talking about like people like standing by the booth and taking pictures of her and stuff. Like,
well, they do that with me too, which I think is weird.
Yeah, that is fucking. So you get that? You get some creepy.
That's not creepy to me. It's just it just kind of all goes together, you know?
How's it not creepy to you? Like,
I don't know. I'm so phased out of it, I guess, that I don't really think about it anymore.
So you're some motherfucker just snapping pictures of RK on the low. Like, you're like, that's just totally normal here at a GP.
Pretty much.
Come on, Magic community. We could do better than this.
Come on. How many people are snapping pictures of LSV?
Oh. See, I've taken just a couple pictures in event, and it was a Randy Bueller sleeping in the broadcaster's booth next to the other people while they were live broadcasting. Randy was right off to the side of them asleep. And I thought that was hilarious. Okay, and I posted those, and then I was advised I should probably remove those. And I did, but it was.
I mean, they're still on the internet
somewhere, but don't take don't take pictures of the commentary people at events. I'll just say that
they'll find you.
So let's see, Michael Farrell. Mike, thanks for the question, homie. Is your hair, RK, as soft as it looks?
Yes. Which hair?
Ah. He conditions the pubes as well, Michael.
Well, you go arm hair, armpit hair, pubes, ass hair, whatever.
It's all soft, baby. It's all soft, Michael.
It's all like pillowy down.
Yeah. Oh, man. Colton, thanks for writing in, man. Big swig of beer to you. First of all, he says, tell RK I love him long time. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I've seen you, Colton. I'm gonna go with the latter on that one. Also, what went into the design for his Fulminator mage piece? Like, what inspired him to make it? How long did it take?
That's a multi-tiered question there. So I actually worked on one of the style guides for Shadowmoor, and it had I worked on the Cinderfolk that were kind of falling apart there. So okay. I already knew how they looked, and then someone told me this weird tornado thing, and just put it all together.
And boom, Fulminator Mage was born. Bam. Colton, no more multi-layered layered questions for the guest, asshole. Keep the shit straightforward. Like this next question. Will you ever do a dick altar again? I think we already kind of touched on that. Yeah. Maybe if you find him outside of an event or something and you're lucky. Or throw him some money.
I would say, why would I want to impede on the value of the dick altars that have already been done? If I had more dick altars to the pool,
we have a dick altar reserve list. This is the dick altar reserve list. That's mind blowing. That's pretty fucking sweet. So if you do have dick altars, set them aside. They're out of print.
People looking for them and willing to pay big bucks for them. I shit you not.
There you go. Speaking of the reserve list, do you have any cards on the reserve list?
Not that I'm aware of.
And is it kind of like a badge of honor if an artist gets a card banned? Have you ever had a card banned? Like, does that?
Lin Civi, I think, got really close, or at least in some format.
Lin Civi is banned in Mass Constructed.
There you go.
So, I mean, is that like kind of, do you know other artists who have had stuff banned? Like,
Argyle with Death Threat. Yeah, no, shit happens. But I mean,
it's gotta feel so good when a card gets banned. Like if you're an artist, I'm just
kind of. But it's not really. It's not the art that got it banned.
Yeah,
that would be more awesome if it was the art that got it banned.
That hey, they've done some sketchy art in the past.
Granted, but it's never been banned because of the art.
Yeah, fair. Brad Roush. Brad, good looking out, homie. Thanks for the question. How do you awesome so hard, RK?
Shit. I don't know. Liquor?
Okay, that'll do it for you.
Don't know.
There you go. We encourage.
I don't take everything personally.
There you go. That's a good outlook in general.
Yeah, just don't take everything personally and be less angry.
There you go. Ethan with Ethan, I don't know if this is... I honestly can't tell because... I don't know if you're being serious here and really want to know this or not, but we'll ask. I mean, this is weird, bro. What kind of name is RK? Like German or what?
Oh, it's my initials. My first name is Randy.
Okay, yeah.
It's not that weird because I actually get asked all the time. I was at one event once. It was like a pre-release like in, I want to say, Arkansas. And it was like some dude's mom or grandma came up, saw my initials, and she rattled off my full name just guessing it, first and middle.
I wouldn't trust that witch.
I was floored. It has never happened since. And then also to go with that too. So I usually make people guess my middle name. I never tell them off the bat. And I was at one GP and there was this dude drunk off his ass. And he come up and he guessed my middle, tried to guess my middle name. And every time he got it wrong. And then he'd run off and he'd come back. And then one time he guessed it. And then I go, bam, you got it. And he was like, ah! And he ran off and he disappeared and he came back later. And then he started guessing again.
too much drugs. I'll take a guess. Constantine.
Sure.
Constantine is wrong? Damn.
With a K?
Yeah, some people spell it with a K, right? Am I just high? Is that not
so
a thing?
My name is dated, so.
Damn. All right, well, that's all I'm going to guess.
That's all you got?
That's all I got, man.
Not even a Carl?
Kevin, maybe?
Yeah.
See,
I would say Kevin is the most guessed.
Yeah, it's nothing basic. I knew it couldn't be.
It's kind of basic.
I don't know. Lawrence, you got one? You got a middle name?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Let's see. What is this question supposed to mean? When do we start to get death right flute sound bites?
That's just a question for you.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Braden, I will work on that. I don't know what a death right flute sound bite be more.
Sid playing the flute, man.
Ah, Sid on the flute. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we will get more Sid playing the flute on here. I promise I can pull some sound bites to that. If WotC made you artists wrestle for commissions, RK, which MTG artist would be your tag team partner? And I'm going to take this further. Who would you want to wrestle?
I'll take it even farther. Okay. I leg wrestled another MTG artist once.
How do you leg wrestle? Explain this.
You get down on the floor and you kind of lock opposite legs and then you try to flip the one guy over.
Kinky.
Okay.
And I won't tell you who it was, but he cheated and he won.
Well, fuck him then.
So I picked that dude.
As your partner?
I want a fucking cheater.
You want a cheater on your tag team? That's a good fucking point, because that dude will hit a guy with the chair when the ref's not looking and shit.
Damn straight, that's the guy I want.
Good point. Who are you guys?
Who do you want to,
yeah, who you guys?
Who do you want to wrestle?
Yeah.
Who do I want to wrestle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. I don't know. Who can I pick here? See, I know a lot of them.
Therese Nielsen? Would you give her a body? Would you body slam Therese Nielsen?
I feel like Therese Nielsen lifts.
I think she'd take me out.
Really?
I feel like
yeah, she is pretty boss.
She is. She'd take me out.
I don't know.
I got her in weight, but I think she's just quick.
Fair. She's probably into. She'll do some dirty moves too. She's probably kneecap you or something.
She grew up in Nebraska, so maybe. I don't know.
Let's see. Which MTG artist is your favorite?
Other than yourself.
Oh, and that was Dominic. Thank you for the question, Dominic.
No, I would put myself as my favorite. I don't know. I got so many. Even like a lot of the newer guys too. I look at their work and I just admire the hell out of it. You know, like Clint Searle and Chris Ron.
Okay, yeah.
Chris, you know, anybody can do traditional painting and do it really well.
Chris Ron does some place awesome in my heart art. Chris Ron does awesome lands, if I'm not mistaken.
Just anything he does is pretty damn good, pretty damn solid.
Pretty sweet. Is that the guy who did Drown in Sorrow?
No, Noah Bradley did
Drown in Sorrow.
Oh, Noah. Yeah, Noah's digital, like his stuff too.
What's your favorite MTG piece? We already asked the one he's... What's the favorite one that someone else has done? Do you have a favorite card that another artist has done?
I would need to ponder it for a moment. I don't remember the name of the card, but... The dude coming out of his head that Carlo Ortiz did.
The dude, he has what coming out of his head?
The little guy like coming out of his head.
No, it's like a full body. I think it's like a full art thing. And then the dude, and I want to say it was like in the Theros block too. He's got like half a face and there's kind of smoke rising out of
Ashiok.
It. Ashiok, that's it. Bam.
Okay, Ashiok is sick. Ashiok is sick.
Or the Liliana she did too is pretty damn sweet.
Okay, fuck yeah.
I don't know if anyone's actually asked this, but how did you get into art?
Didn't really make it as a veterinarian.
Did you go into veterinarianism?
Yeah, less than a semester. I got like a B average. It's not good enough.
Let's see. This is a serious question. Right. An interesting topic. I never really considered this. So thank you, Theo, for the thoughtful write in here. Thoughts on Noah Bradley, we were just talking about, and whether artists should receive royalties for playmats, deck boxes, and other MTG items using their art. We add to that, same for Peter Moorbacher and speaking out against some of WotC's practices.
Right. Peter and Noah are pretty close. They're guys that really know how to market things and market it well. And I admire the hell out of that. I mean, they just do it far better than I ever could. And they're both talented dudes too. So I have no qualms with either one. How's that for middle of the road? Take that.
How do you feel about the royalties thing?
I'm not seeing it. Cause here's the thing, as a freelancer, most of the projects you're going to work on, you're just going to get paid one time and that's it. So that's just kind of
so you
how
kind of sign
are.
Off on how it's used intellectually after that.
Yeah, I don't know. Every contract is different and you just sort of you know, if you do this a long time, you expect not to get anything else but that one-time payment, and that's it.
Okay, so an interesting stance. Yeah, I mean, I never really considered that, and there is, I mean, your guys' work is used on playmats, and a lot of that stuff gets sold. It is...
Sure.
It is kind of interesting. So it's, I find it interesting that there's artists on both sides of the spectrum on that.
Yeah. I also look at it like they're promoting your work and they're using your work on things that other people will see. They'll probably notice, and then they'll notice you as well. So it doesn't bother me.
So,
yeah. Okay.
In a weird way, Wizards is paying you to use you as advertisement.
Yeah, I find it more as like a compliment that they thought enough of my work out of that set over other pieces to actually use my work on
a playmat.
Playmat, deck boxes, binders, whatever, which they've done. So, I mean, yeah, I'm cool with it.
Okay, yeah, that is sweet. And I think that speaks to your attitude in general. I mean, laid back and just like you seem very positive overall and shit. And, you know, that. So yeah, it's kind of.
And I've known some angry dudes too, and you know, you just waste a whole lot of time being angry about stuff and not really being able to change a thing.
For sure, that's something I'm struggling with. But keep it real. Oh, man.
All right.
Now this is a question.
Do we have more?
Yeah, we do. And this one gets back. Now this is our listeners. This is the shit we expect from these fucking degenerates. Charles, you motherfucker, you sick savage. How many fingers have you had inside of a woman, RK? God damn, Charles.
Holy, you spread your plum like fruit!
I don't know.
Charles,
wait. Are we talking about multiple ports here?
I suppose. I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Four or five? Shit, I don't know. I was kidding.
Hey,
take my wife!
He's an all-American, Charles. You can be proud. Rest assured, you can be proud. he has a follow-up for you, RK, to that.
Sure.
What's the most interesting art object he has had in a woman? Jesus Christ. I didn't even read that before I read it. What does that even, what does that even mean? Most interesting art object he has had in a woman.
I would call myself.
Boom.
Bam.
And you are a work of art. If I say somebody, if you've seen him out, there's a reason hot young chicks are willing to work a booth with this guy. Okay. All right, so RK's dick is the work of art.
Okay.
There you go, Charles. Wow, so,
do we have any more questions on the CFB side?
What was that, RK?
Ready to be disappointed.
Hey, it's all a matter of perspective.
You just
right?
set up a whole lot of people for a very sad time.
Well, Matt Bowlby wants to know, have you ever done a bone flute altar, and are you tired of... I'm too buzzed to say this word correctly. Fallacious? Are you tired of... But it's like phallicious-ish questions.
Dicks.
Are you tired of dick questions? Man, just say dick questions. Don't use your fancy fucking grammar on our threads.
Guys, we all know Ryan's too drunk by this point.
By this point in the cast, you know I can't read this shit.
He can't say the big words.
RK, have you done a bone flute altar, and are you tired of the dick questions?
I don't think he even knows what bone flute is.
No, I think I have, actually.
Yeah, because bone flute, that's not one of...
Whatever.
That's not one of...
Oh, no,
I
was thinking of the meth flute. I was thinking of the meth flute, my bad. Sid's meth flute.
Oh, Sid's flute. We're just fucking being savages.
Anyway, we went off.
Wait, because I was like, bone flute is not a card he's done. Like,
no, but I've altered cards I haven't done, especially a lot of those particular altars.
Armada Worm, I imagine you've got to share of. Okay, so I'm not even original if I mail you an Armada Worm.
No, well, considering I don't do them anymore, to keep the value...
That's true, reserve list, reserve... I fucking forgot about the reserve list. God damn.
No, but back in the day when I was doing them, yeah, you'd find everything.
Let's see here. Travis, good question, thanks for writing in. A wizard, a gorgon, and a succubus walk into the bar. Which one do you alter? Now, we had listeners respond to him and say, fuck you, Travis. You need to change this question to a fuck, marry, kill. So we're going to change it to a wizard, a gorgon, and a succubus walk into a bar. Who do you fuck? Who do you marry? Who do you kill?
Well, I marry the wizard. I fuck the succubus. And then I kill the gorgon because I don't feel like getting turned to stone anytime soon.
There you go. That's
bam, wizard. Boom. Makes money.
Mic drop on that one. Who is your favorite MTG artist besides yourself? That's Sean Lewis Korb. Sean, thanks for the question. Yeah, you got a favorite?
Pretty sure.
Did we already ask that one? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
See? Damn it. You fucking repeaters. Houston. Houston, ginger ale. The second coolest ginger you know. He's a real asshole. If you've ever met him in real life, listeners, you know the guy. Houston asks, how do you greet each other?
Oh, I flip him off.
Okay, that's love. I'd say that's about what he deserves.
You cocksucker.
Yeah. So flipping him off. Someone wants to know. It could be me. I don't know. Someone wants to know if Tap and Sack was the worst podcast choice you've ever made.
I think the short, easy answer is yeah.
Yeah. Houston, I think that goes without saying. Tap and Sack was clearly a regrettable experience. And yeah, but he endured it. He survived, and he's here with us today. So that was all we had as far as the write-ins go on the CFE side. Lawrence, what did you have for the man?
My local group, Scott Campbell's. Will you ever have any of your art available on Ultra Pro playmats like some other artists?
Eventually. I'm kind of doing the wait and see on it. I just want to wait and see kind of how the reaction is. Playmat overload is like a real deal kind of thing, especially go to GPs on a regular basis. You know, those players have at least 40 minutes each.
I would say, if I could throw this out here, a playmat of like your tokens, like an ink, that would be so fucking sick.
That'll happen too.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that, I would spend 25 on that. I'd drop a 25 on that.
Okay.
Okay. Joseph Dyer wants to know, do you ever sleep?
When I'm not traveling, I do. Those weekends at a GP, not so much.
Okay.
We already concluded that he's too busy swimming in groupies at all hours to be bothered with sleep. So.
Okay.
In the blood of...
Okay, Colin English wants me to tell you that you are a gorgeous man.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if RK recognizes the name or...
He might have taken pictures of you.
Maybe.
GP without your permission.
I don't know. I think I'm public at this point, so permission, I think, is out the window.
But yeah, no, RK's right. Hot. RK's hot, so Callie, good looking out.
Okay. Zach Weasel wants to know, did you have any pieces that you had low expectations for that turned out to be fan favorites?
Morphling was one, actually.
Okay.
It wasn't one that I was just kind of experimenting with it, and I can't say it was my favorite piece, but bam, then it was something.
Okay. Nick Januzzi is wanting me to tell you to make Blaziken and Eldrazi Scion tokens, apparently. We can just do that now.
Okay.
Eldrazi Scion tokens would be sweet, actually.
And
they're played a lot, so.
Tim Hebert said, did you make the Drake tokens for the fans or because you rep the six?
Good question.
I'm aware of Drake. Drake was actually a commission. But
okay.
That was just like an awesome idea, and I had the ability to recognize him. I am actually working on a Kanye one right now.
Okay, but okay. Do you rep the six?
So what you're saying is that you're...
I can't say I honestly rep the six, but I would not disparage the six.
Okay. Okay. A fan of the six. You heard it here first. Anything else, Lords?
No, we're good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, then let's fucking rapid fire and then get RK back to his art and shit, because I feel like we've wasted enough of his time probably here. So you good to go on rapid fire, Lawrence?
Yeah.
All right, let's fucking hit it off. We're going to throw shit at you, like we said, rapid fire, answer back, and yeah, bam. We'll go from there. Let's see.
Favorite pair of complementary colors on the color wheel?
Complementary?
Yes.
Red, no, blue. Ah!
Favorite art medium?
Oils.
Favorite movie?
My stand to go to is The Crow, but otherwise Road Warrior. Bam.
If you could be any two people... We'll give Sid a shout out here. We'll ask a Sid question since he's not here tonight. If you could be any two people fucking each other, who are these two people? They could be anybody. They could be fictional. They could be fictional. Really
creative here. Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
And a pigeon.
You'd be Abraham Lincoln fucking a pigeon. We've had Abraham Lincoln before. We've never had a pigeon as the other half. But
the other half, I guess the question it should be asked, are pigeons people? Sure.
Favorite genre of music?
Genre of music? I go alternative.
Favorite song?
Favorite song? Shit, I don't know. It changes all the time.
Or band?
Band. I don't really have a favorite band. Muse, whatever, I don't know.
Ah, Muse is good. There you go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Tits or ass?
Ass.
What Power Ranger would you be?
Pink.
Pink, excellent. Hot to boot. Let's see. Favorite game/sport?
Game/sport. Curling.
Okay.
Favorite first date activity?
Ooh.
Curling.
If you take a girl curling, you are guaranteed to get pussy. That is an absolute fact.
Yeah, too much.
So, absolute fact. Dodgeball or kickball?
Dodge.
Okay, favorite TV show?
Shit. I want to say Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty.
Can't go wrong with either of those.
If heaven exists, what would you like God to say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Guess what, bitch? I'm real.
Okay, there you go. What vegetable would you be?
Zucchini.
If you could witness any event, past, present, or future?
Abraham Lincoln fucking a pigeon.
Okay. God, I fucking love RK. I love this guy.
I feel like I know the answer to this already. But if you could meet any three fictional or historical figures for like dinner or something, what would they be?
Well, one of them's Abe Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln, a pigeon, and
a bottle of lube.
And Jane Mansfield's corpse.
Okay. You can have some fun there, that's for sure.
And a bottle of Kvasky.
What artist has inspired you the most?
I'm going to rattle off a couple names you don't even know. Virgil Finley and Franklin Booth.
Okay, I actually think I've heard of Franklin Booth. The other person...
But not Virgil Finley.
No idea.
Okay.
If you were to write a book about yourself, what would you name it?
Well, good one. Postmortem? I don't know. That was the Empire.
Postmortem, okay.
This guy's life?
Okay.
That's not a bad title. Pikachu or Charmander?
Oh, shit. Damn. I'm going to go Mr. Mime.
Okay. Greatest influence, not art influence, but just in general.
I'm going to say one quick thing about Mr. Mime. It's Devilman and Klaus Nomi had a baby, right?
Okay, and he's very underrated as a Pokemon.
Very, yes, because he's a mime. Hey, sorry, what was the question?
Fuck.
Yes.
Okay. No, greatest, not art influence, but just greatest influence on you.
Oh, shit. Abraham Lincoln?
Okay. If you could live anywhere in the world.
I'm going to stay right where I'm at in the Seattle area.
Okay, Seattle fan. Favorite book?
Shit, I don't really read, so I don't really have one.
Okay.
How
much to commission tokens?
It varies. There's three prices. There's a 15, a 30, and a 75. So there you go. Bam.
Boom.
Okay.
What was Picasso's best period?
The only one I can remember, the blue one.
Okay. Shit. Lawrence, you got any more?
No, I'm done.
Did I ask what animal he'd be?
No.
I'd be a majestic pigeon.
A majestic... with a gaping hole.
Yes.
For Abe Lincoln. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Favorite art piece of all time? Like, favorite painting... If you could own any piece of art ever, like what are you hanging on your wall?
See, I think I'd pick a Van Gogh just purely for the value.
Okay, is Van Gogh really like the top shit as far as value goes?
They get a few shekels.
Okay, I would have guessed like Rembrandt
or Monet or yeah, I'm sure Rembrandt.
Okay, excellent.
Hey, let's go all out, Da Vinci. There you go.
Boom. That's all I got for rapid fire. Lawrence, you got any more rapid fire?
No, I'm good.
Excellent. RK, If the people out there, you mentioned it earlier, but if they do want to check out some of your stuff, holler at you on maybe Twitter or Facebook, anything like that, how do they do that? How do we get a hold of the man?
If you go to just my regular website, rkpost.net, or just Google my ass, you'll find rkpost.net, and all the links are there.
There you go, people. Real fucking simple. Use Google, you assholes.
Yeah.
And reach us if you got hate mail. We need to check your hate mail. We haven't checked hate mail in a few weeks. I should probably do this. But if you got hate mail, Sid's Gmail. I'm sorry, SidsHateMail@gmail.com. Hit us up. And the Cast from Exile page on Facebook, of course, of course. And until next time, cards to tap, ass to slap. Peace. Kid or something.
That was my daughter. She just came in. She said she's shit in the toilet.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, let's fucking shout out RK's daughter for taking a shit in the toilet, because that's a big fucking step. I'm assuming she's a young one, so
yeah.
Okay, you're not like my 14 year old daughter.
Like,
yeah, my 16 year old just came in and told me she's shit in the toilet.
I thought
Acridian was a good card.